Okay, we're on Samach Tasem at Bay 69B1. The Mishnah at the beginning of the parak says that when the Jews went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, there were 10 categories. Kayanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalim, went through the whole thing. And then the Mishnah was discussing who can marry whom. So it says that Kayan Levi Yisrael could intermarry Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gedim, and Charuri also can intermingle. They're also allowed to intermarry. Kainim are limited in who they're allowed to marry. Okay, so on and so forth. That was what the Gemara was discussing. The last thing the Gemara was discussing is that when Ezra came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, okay, it says that the last thing the statement was, Amar Abelazar, Lo Ola Ezra mi Bavel, Ezra did not go up from Bavel, until he made fine sifted flour left in Bavel, and then he went up to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is where we left off last time. But to understand the Gemara further, we need to understand, talk again a little bit about this, especially when it was a few while ago. When Ezra went up to Bavel, not all the Jews from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash, not all the Jews went up with him.
Only 40,000 came out. Huh? Only 40,000.
Yeah, not all the Jews came out. And Ezra was afraid that there's a whole mixture of lineage, who was kosher, not kosher, you know, who was kosher Jews, not kosher. It was a whole, they married the non-Jewish wife. I mean, it was a whole thing going on over there.
Same issue with the Russians. That
come yeah. So it says that Ezra, for the Jews left in Bavel, he made it like fine sifted flour. That means all the Jews left in Bavel were kosher to marry. Because Ezra knew the Jews that went up to Eretz Yisrael, the big Sanhedrin, as the Gemara says, that's what they did a good part of the day. A good part of the day, especially when they went up at the beginning. They went through all the yichus to know who's a Kohen, who's a Levi, who's a Yisrael, who's kosher, who's not kosher Jew, who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer. So Ezra said, listen, the guy's going to Eretz Yisrael, the big bezin's going to deal with them. But nobody's going to be left to deal with the Jews in Bavel. So Ezra fine-sifted, the Gemara's expression is, all the Jews in Bavel to make sure they were all kosher Jews.
I don't understand. To send them to Eretz Yisrael, just keep them in Bavel?
No, the ones that stayed in Bavel,
sifted them? How did he sift them?
So to speak, no, because he made sure, here, okay, once he said in Eretz Yisrael, okay, he made to arrange the departure of the tainted classes in Bavel. Meaning, all the questionable Jews, he took out with him from Bavel. Like we said, because in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Din will deal with it. So all the Jews he left over in Bavel were all processed kosher Jews. Okay, that was what the Gemara says.
He sent the non-good, the ones that were questionable.
Well, not the only Eretz those.
Israel.
But the questionable ones, he made sure they went to Eretz. What Tetzu Gemara is going to ask now. Okay? Itmar, we learned in this, the first of the wide lines. Yep. Amma Abaya says, Olam Yalem Tanan. When it says that they went up, it means they went up on their own accord. Ezra didn't force them to go up. The Mishnah that says that 10 Yuchsin went up from Bavel, right? So Abaya says it means they went up willingly. Rava Omer, Helum Tanan, he forced him to go up. Okay? He made him go up. So he says, V'kamiflegid Rabbi Lazar, they're arguing in the din of Rabbi Lazar. The Omer, Rabbi Lazar, Le'ozra Ezra Mibovel, this was just the statement we just said. Ezra did not go up from Bovel, Acha Aso, Kaselis Nekia. Until he fine sifted, like he sifted the flour, meaning he made sure that all the questionable Jews went up, and all the 100% kosher Jews stayed in Bavel.
Why?
One second. So Abaya, that says they went up willingly from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Leslie the Rabbi Lazar, he doesn't agree with the Rabbi Lazar that Ezra fine sifted everybody. So therefore, he says the Jews on their own went up to Eretz Yisrael. But Rava is the Rabbi Lazar, Rava holds the Rabbi Lazar, that they were forced to go up. because it's self understood, not all the questionable Jews wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael. They were good in Bavel. Right? Mm-hmm. Why didn't the Jews go up? They had a good time in Bavel. So what are we going to Eretz? What do we need Mashiach for? It's good in Beverly Hills. You know, we don't need Mashiach. They said it was good in Bavel. They didn't need to go up. So Rava said Ezra forced them to go up. All the questionable cases. Because Ezra wanted that the big Bezdin in Yerushalayim should go through all the documentations and the witnesses. That's what they did. They actually had witnesses coming to testify who's a kosher Jew, who's not a kosher Jew, who's a Kohen, who's not a Kohen, and so on. Okay.
But I don't understand, why do we need to have non-kosher Jews in the land of Eretz Israel?
No, not that we need them there. Once they come up to Eretz Israel, the Bezdin will say who's kosher and who's not.
And what happens to the ones that are not kosher?
They can live there as citizens, as Goyim.
So right now in Eretz Israel, it's not an issue that they
No. So, or that's one answer. Iboy same, or another answer is Kula Alme Isur Abalozer. Well, Abaye who says they went up willingly, or Ravid says that the Jews went up forcibly from Bavel to Eretz. Both hold like a Abalozer. So, what's the argument between Abaye and Ravid if the Jews went up willingly or non-willingly? He says Marsa ver Afru Shefreshinu. He says. He separated those that were not fit, and then they went up on their own. The other one says, no, they were forcibly to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Abaye says that when, Abaye learns like this, that this is what Rashi explains. When Ezra separated the good Jews from the bad Jews, the questionable Jews, let's put it, it's a funny word, bad Jews. The questionable Jews were embarrassed of staying there. Because as I said, you're questionable Jew. So on their own, Abaye says they went up to Eretz Yisrael to get status, to get clarification from the big Bezdin. Rava, on the other hand, says, no, why should they want to go up? They were forced to go up. They didn't want to go up, they were forced to go up. So the Gemara says, Bishlei melemandi omer alu. Okay, according to the opinion, it says they went up willingly. Hainu damer Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel. Then it makes sense what Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel says. Kol arosis isel Eretz Yisrael. All lands are dough. I'll explain in a second. It's expression compared to Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael isel abavel, and Eretz Yisrael compared to bavel is like dough, meaning like this dough. Has a bunch of mixture in it. In other words, like this. Sifted flour is pure. There's nothing else in it but sifted flour. Once you make dough, you have water and salt and yeast. So a dough means a mixture of a whole bunch of mishmash things. So Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel says, all the lands compared to Eretz Yisrael are like dough. Meaning a whole mixture. Eretz Yisrael compared to Bavel is also like dough, meaning Bavel was more pure in who's a Jew than Eretz Yisrael was, because that's what Ezra did. So the Gemara says like this, one second. So then it makes sense. So he says, El Alamandi Omer Helum, but according to the person that says that they forced him up, made the Yadinun. So why isn't Eretz Yisrael not as good as Bavel? Meaning like this. If they went up on their own, okay, so they went up quietly. So now they're coming to Eretz Yisrael, they're also all mixed. But if you hold, they were forced to go up, that means they didn't want to go up. And Ezra forced them to go up, so obviously everybody know who the questionable Jews were. So why wouldn't Israel, Eretz Yisrael, be as pure as Bavel? Because everybody in Eretz Yisrael would also know who's good and who's not.
Talking about before going to Israel or after going to Israel?
No. He says that if the Jews were forcibly made to go up to Eretz Israel, right, even though they didn't want to, meaning they were questionable Jews, and yet Ezra made them go up, so obviously everybody knew who those Jews were. So they wouldn't mix with the pure Jews in Eretz Israel either. So why isn't Eretz Israel pure? Why is Eretz Yisrael less pure than Bavel? See, if they went up willingly, that means nobody forced them to go up. They went up with everybody else. So then nobody would know they were questionable. So now they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Nobody knows who's questionable. Nobody knows who's not questionable. So they're all mixed up. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael is not as clear, pure as Bavel. But if you hold, they were forced to go up. If they were forced to go up, then everybody knew about them. So even in Eretz Yisrael, there was still a clarification who is a proper Jew and who is not a proper Jew. Made the yod, they would know. So the Gemara says, nevertheless, nihi de yod alohudah. The Gemara says like this. Even if they're forced to go up, they would only know that generation. L'dor achrine, for the next generation, they wouldn't know who's pure and who's not pure. The guys that went up forcibly, everybody knew about them. But when they get married somehow and have kids, how is anybody going to know who is, so to speak, pure and who is not pure? Nobody knows the difference. Because by then everybody's intermingled. So therefore the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael, compared to Bavel, is not as pure. It's only a dough, which is a mixture of things, compared to Bavel.
In the land, the other lands besides Bavel and Israel,
was worse than Eretz Yisrael.
There were so many Jews. I mean, there were Jews back then.
After Churban Bayis Rishon, Jews went all over the place. Yep, they went over all over the place. I mean, you had Jews were in Spain at that time.
After the first
basement, it speaks about in Avadia. It speaks about Golus Achelas Asher Bisfarad. There was a Golus. People were in Germany. People were in Spain. The majority of people were in Bavel, but from Bavel, people that just moved out to their various different places. Said there were Jews all over the place. Yeah, the main population was in Bavel.
How did they get around?
Okay. How did they get around? How did the Indians come to America?
When?
The Indians were there first.
Before Columbus.
Oh, no. But they were natives there. I mean, they were natives.
From when? When Hashem created Adam and Chava in Eretz Yisrael, right? Yeah? Obviously, he created Adam and Chava in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says. Now, how do the people get to America, South Africa, Australia? They went on ships, whatever it was.
Abraham had 10 other kids besides the other ones. Abraham, right?
Yeah, but the people, I'm saying, I'm not talking about Jews or Goyim. I'm saying, how did people get all over the world? They traveled, they moved. They went with boats, they went with on land, whatever it was. They went.
And the title of Sephardi Ashkenazi, when it started, exactly.
Spain. Sephardi is really from Spain. Sephardi is Spain. But that was it from a long time ago.
Like when they went to Babel? Or like maybe 500?
Probably afterwards.
What?
Right.
After Churban?
I don't know exactly when.
So what is the Middle Eastern? The Babel? What do they call Babel? It's not Sephardi. So what?
Technically not. But Lapel, the Sephardic people from Spain went to these countries, and that's where it became spread. Okay, anyway, let's go right. The Gemara is not talking about kosher Jews, kosher Ashkenazim, kosher Sephardim. Kosher Jews, not kosher Jews. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Bishleim alamandi omad, it's good according to the Abayat that says, although they went up willingly. Okay? That's why it says, Hainu dechsiv, this is what the Pasuk says, Ezra said, I will assemble them at the flowing river at the Ava, whatever that was. We camped there for 3 days. And I scrutinized the people and the Koyanim. I didn't find any Leviim. Okay? So therefore, what is it saying? Ezra said, I gathered all the Jews together. And I didn't find any Leviim. That's what he said. Well, we'll see. I'll explain this in a second. So that makes sense according to the opinion that said they went up willingly. Why? If they went up willingly, Ezra didn't know who went to, who didn't go. Everybody went willingly. But if you hold that Ezra forced the non-kosher Jews to go up, So why didn't what that he forced them up? Zahiri definitely knew who went up, and what does it mean? Ezra has to scrutinize the people again at this river, right? What's it saying? That Ezra scrutinized, he went through the people at the river, right? So if they went up willingly, so he didn't know who went up, who didn't go up. So obviously he had to see who's it. And he said he didn't find any Levium. But if you say Ezra forced the Jews to go up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, especially the non-kosher Jews, because he wanted them to be discussed in the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, and Bavel he left pure with only kosher Jews, so why is he scrutinizing the Jews? He already did it in Bavel. Why does he have to re-scrutinize the Jews? So the Gemara says like this, Nehi de Ezra b'psulim. He knew who the non-kosher Jews were that went up. But B'kshirim Lehazim, he didn't know who the kosher Jews that went up. He didn't know who was a Kohen or a Levi or Yisroel. Therefore he said, I scrutinized the Jews and I didn't find any Levium. Because those were all kosher Jews. So the kosher Jews, he didn't know who was a Kohen, Levi, and Yisroel. And therefore he had to check them out when he came to that river. But the non-kosher Jews, he taka knew who was what, who's questionable and who's not questionable.
So they went willingly.
The Levim did not go willingly.
No.
The Mercy is either way.
So according to the kosher ones, they were not checked.
Everybody says the kosher Jews went willingly. The only question is the non-kosher, the questionable Jews. Abaye said they went up alone, willingly, and Rava said he forced them up. But by the way, this is an interesting thing. The Gemara says that when they went up for the second base of Migdash, the Levim didn't go. And that's why he said, Ubnei Levi lo matzasi sham.
They couldn't find Levis.
There were no Levim. And because the Levim stayed in Bavel. And the Gemara says that when they didn't go up, the Levim, Ezra fined the Levim, that Maaser was given to the Kayanim instead of to the Levim. Normally Maaser is given to the Levi.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? When the Levim didn't go up, Ezra said that you're not going up to the Beis Hamikdash, you're finished with Maaser. Why was he allowed to do that? Truma is holy. Truma has Kedusha to it. Maaser is no Kedusha to it. Anybody can eat Maaser. You give it to the Levi, push it for Parnasa. Truma was not only Parnasa, Truma was holy. A Levi you saw that ate Truma was Chayv Misa. So that the Koyach the Chum couldn't do. But this was a monetary thing. You know, monetary money that went to the Levium. Ezra said to the Levium, you're not going up. He found the Levium didn't go up. The Gemara says, Karnas Ezra Levium. Ezra gave a fine to the Levium, and he said, you're not getting mice anymore.
When Ezra left for Babylonia for Israel, who was in charge of the Jews in Babylonia?
One time all these tzaddikim went up. I don't think anybody was left. Therefore, he made sure all the Jews that were left were kosher.
There was a lot of them there. Millions of them.
But they didn't want to go up.
That's where the Persians
nobody in charge of
these
Jews?
Right.
That's where the Persians came from. So we didn't
have
a famine.
So Tesis over here asks a very interesting question. Really, Rashi asked the question too. According to this Gemara that we just said, Levium didn't go up. Correct?
Yeah.
What did our Mishnah start off by saying? Asari yuchsin olum mibavel. Kayanim, Levium, Yisraelim. So our Mishnah says Levium did go up. And here the Gemara says
Levium
didn't go up. So Rashi and Tesis asked the question and they answered the same answer. It's a very interesting story. It says like this. Here. So Rashi says, okay. Vasava shayu sham levim ksherim, vle matzu ru'uyim la'aveda. What happened was like this. Rashi says, Taisa says, that only the levim that went up, that bit off their thumbs, with their fingers, with their teeth. What happens like this, he says over here the story. Here. You know, that we say in Tilum, we say Dal Naris Bavel, Eich no shir eshir Hashem, how can we sing Alad Masnechor, on foreign land? He says like this, Levim were not fit to serve in the newly constructed Beis Hamikdash. Okay, and he was looking, Ezra was looking for Levim that could serve. It says, Rashi cites the Medrash that recounts how the Levim became unfit. When the Jews were being exiled to Bavel, when the Jews went into Golus Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar said to the Levim, play for us some of the songs of Tzion on your stringed instruments before me and my idol. But Nebuchadnezzar told the Levim, when they went into Golus Bavel, this is already going out, but when he went in, Nebuchadnezzar told the Levim, I want you to play the songs of the Beis Hamikdash on your instruments for me and my idols. To avoid doing so, the Levim severed their thumbs with their teeth, making it impossible for them to play their instruments.
But that was the first generation.
Says, then they responded, how can we play Hashem's song on an alien land? Now the Medrash points out, we shall not play. They didn't say, we will not play. They said, how can we play? That means it was impossible for them to play because they did it. It was those maimed Levim, okay, it was only 70 years, who were sent with Ezra Tarchisro. Ezra, however, sought Levim to play the instruments in the newly built Beis Hamikdash, and he couldn't find. There were, in truth, fit Levim lived in Bavel. But they chose not to go out. Okay? Oh, so he says, Marshon notes that if so, they were very old Levim.
Yeah, I mean.
He says, because he writes, Levim had severed their thumbs had done so more than 70 years earlier. Nothing. He mentions it as a question, but this is what the Medrash says.
Only the old ones went up. And
yeah,
were about
the young
120.
The young Levim decided to stay then. So when the Mishnah says that 10 people went to Kayanim, Levim, Yisraelim, the Levim that had the chopped off thumbs went in.
So in the second Beit Hamikdash, they didn't have a Levim?
They had.
They had, but the old
eventually
ones.
They went up.
Eventually, some of them went up, yeah.
So they had sheared like
they... They had, obviously.
Regarding the Masher, when Ezra punished them, if not because of his punishment, they had to take a Masher to Babylon to give it to the Levim?
No, he said give it to the Kohanim.
No, I know. If not because of that, they had to take Masher from Israel to Babylon?
No.
To Levim?
No. They said, pray when a Levi wants to come and get it. Let him get it. Oh. They said, here it is. You want to come and get it. Okay, so now it says in the Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah, Kainim Levim v'Yisraelim, Kainim Levim v'Yisraelim went up. Yep. So the Gemara asks, Minolim the Sulk, where do we see in Tanakh that the Kainim Levim, I was just going to ask for sources of all these 10 lineages that went up. The Gemara is going to say, where do we see it? I mean, like, what's the source of the Mishnah? So it says, the Gemara says, Dechsi, because it says, Vayeshua Kayanim Valvim, the Kayanim Levim, Umin Ha'am in front of the people, Hamasharim the singers, Vashayanim the gatekeepers, Vanasinim and the Nasinim, Ba'areim settled in the cities, Vachal Yisrael Ba'areim and the Jews also settled in the cities. Meaning, because some people went up, it's brought down over here, that people went up 20 years before Ezra did. And there's the Jews that went up 20 years before Ezra. And this Pasuk says, the Kayanim went up, the Levim went up, the Israelim went up. So they all went up. The Pasuk says that you see they went up. Now where do we know Chaloli, remember Cholol, if a Kayan marries a woman, he's not allowed to marry, their child is a Cholol. Or Gedim, v'charuri, charuri means freed slaves, Goyisha slaves that were freed. So Gemara says, Chalolim, Minalan, where do we know that Chalolim went up to Eretz Yisrael at that time? Now to the questionable Koyanim. The Tanya, Rabbi Yasi says, Gedele Chazoka is great. Okay? Now, what does Chazoka mean? You have this many places in Torah concerning financial things, halachic things. Chazoka things, the status of a person or object remains what it is until proven differently. Okay?
Is it doubt already that we don't
know? No, if a doubt arises, then it changes.
Oh,
but
I
until
see.
You have a solid doubt, Okay? Mm-hmm. For instance, if you knew somebody was a goy, and all of a sudden today they come and say, you know what, I became a Jew. Yeah? Halachically, they must prove that they became a Jew. Because what's the chazakah? What is the status from before? He's a goy. Right? That's the status. And halachically, you remain on that status until proven differently. Okay? If I own something, and then you come along and say it's yours, until you can prove that it's yours, it's mine. Why? Because I have a chazakah that it's mine. Until now, it was for sure mine. You want to change that establishment that it's yours? You have to prove it.
That's the base of how much you have.
Yeah, that's the concept of Simcha Ve'Alavarai, right. So the base is like this. The concept of chazakah is very, very straight. Very strong. Okay? Where do we see it? Because it says in the pasuk like this. Ubnei ha-kayanim, the children of the kayanim. Bnei chavya. Bnei hakeit, bnei barzili, these are different people. Ashelokach me bnei barzili, agilod ili'isha. Who took for a wife the daughters of barzili from Gilod. Vayikrao shmam, and it became known by their name. Ela bikshuk savam. They search for their genealogical record. But, v'leimatzol, they couldn't find it. Vayigaylum, and akuna, they rejected from the kohuna. Because, as far as we know, there were all children of this guy, Barzili Agilodi. Okay? Right? So therefore, they lost their status of kohuna. Because they married these women. Vayemer hatayu sholahem. And Atrisha, that was his name. Or his Nechemya, really. His nickname had Tishasa. Asher lo yoichlu mikedesh hakadoshim, that they cannot eat the Holy of Holies. As the Gemara is going to explain, the Korban is ad amed kain lo urim v'tumim. Until the kain gadol would get up with the urim v'tumim, okay, which didn't exist. V'armer lehem, and this guy had Tushi, said to them, Arei atem b'cheskosam, you remain in your chazakah, b'ma'a yisa eichon b'gvul, whatever you ate in Golus. Okay? Meaning like this. What happened over here is, these people were kayanim. Then it became a question about them. Because they married the daughters of Barzila Agolodi. They looked for their lineage papers, and they couldn't find them. Because they had no proof that they were Kayanim. So Ezra said from Tishasa, who was really, as it says, Nehemiah ben the famous Novi Nehemiah, said to them, they cannot eat from the Holy of Holies, as I was going to say, from Korbanus, until the Urim V'Tumim will come. And basically, because there was no Urim V'Tumim in the second base of Mikdash, Ezra said, you got to wait for Mashiach to come to clarify who's a proper Kohen or not. But he said to them, you can still eat what you ate until now. In other words, the truma that you ate in Bavel, because we assumed you're Kohenim, you can continue eating when you go back to Eretz Yisrael. But to eat Korbanis, that you can't.
They give truma in Babel?
Yeah.
How come?
The Rabbanim we're going to see in a second. That because Babel was a very place full of Jews, they had to eat truma. They had to eat give truma. The Chum Institute have to give truma.
Only for Babel.
Yeah. Surya Babel. There are a few places they have to give. See, like this. The rule of Chazakah. During the period of Golus, the members of these three families were assumed to be Kayanim, and they were given Truma, which by rabbinic law was required in Bavel as well. Okay? It says when the status of Kayanim became questionable when they went back to Eretz Yisrael, so the doubt was treated by maintaining status quo. They said it was what you ate until now, Truma, you could eat. But to eat Karbonis, that they didn't eat in Bavel, because we didn't know if they're a kosher kohen or not, he said you can't eat. But Truma, they did eat. Why? Because they ate it until now. If they ate it until now, they can continue eating it. What?
How could they eat the carbonus in the...
No, when they went back to Eretz Yisrael now. When they...
They're maintaining the status quo. Whatever they ate in Babel, they would eat in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So they had Truma in Babel, they'll have it in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
They didn't have carbonus.
Right, that's exactly what he's telling them. In other words, even though until now we assume you're Kayanim, that we're giving you Truma, okay? But that's only for status quo. To eat new things that you didn't eat in Babel, i.e. carbonus, that you're not allowed to eat.
But he's saying in Babel there was no carbonus to start with.
Correct.
So who says if there was...
We're not done with the Gemara yet. But this is what the Gemara is saying now. Okay?
Okay, I understand. But the question my mind is exactly that.
Right. What you're asking is, well, this that they didn't eat carbonus because there were no carbonus to eat.
Correct.
So therefore, if there would be carbonus, let's say maybe there would be. But yeah, that's what he's saying, though. And the Gemara is not done. But the Gemara is exactly in the middle of this whole thing. Okay, so he says, so just like you ate holy things, Truma, Avkan Nami B'Kodshi Gvul. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, okay? Now, what do you see from this? They were rejected from being Kayanim in Eretz Yisrael because he didn't let them eat korbanos.
Well, what?
That means what status did they have when they came back to Eretz Yisrael? Chalolim. So you see, Chalolim went up to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is just trying to prove, where do you see Chalolim went up to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara brings this whole story. Rabbi Yossi says, look how powerful a Chazaka is that they ate Truma in Eretz Yisrael. Which is, by the way, Truma min Hatayra. In Eretz Yisrael's min Hatayra. But because they ate Truma, rabbinic Truma, in Chutz, in Babel, so they allowed them to eat Truma in Eretz Yisrael, but not to eat Kachim. Why not to eat Korbanos? Because obviously he maintained they were Chalolim. But Chazok is so powerful, that's what he's saying, Chazok is so powerful that even though there are questionable Chalolim, he let him eat Truma.
How do you go from Chalolim to if they were able or not? In the Eretz Yisrael there was no Korbanot, and they had Truma. Who says they were Chalolim?
Because he said you can't eat Korbanos. Because he married the daughter of Barzilia Galadi.
But those ones, but you know...
He's talking about these three families. B'nai Mechavia, Kate, and B'nai Barzili.
So why, if they were Chalolim already in Babel, why did they have Truma?
Because in Babel, whatever we do with, they had a status quo of eating Truma. So you let them eat it.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, if there are Chalolim, all over. Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael.
Because they all married from B'nai Barzili Agiladi, so they married girls that converted. Obviously, they didn't marry Shiksas. They married girls that converted. But a Kohen cannot marry, a Kohen cannot marry Giyadis. Right? So therefore, with their kids, technically we're not kosher Kohenim. Why did he let him eat Truma? He said because, then this is what Rabbi Yossi says, look how powerful Chazaka is. They're really called Chalolim, but because they ate Truma until now, we let them continue eating Truma.
That's the power of
Chazaka. But the bottom line, what the Gemara is bringing from all this, you see that Chalolim went up to Eretz Yisrael. That's all.
Rabbi, so what he's saying that, is it true that Chalolim, Chutz La'aretz, Chutz Eretz Yisrael, they are not... It's not lechatchila b'diavad. I mean,
what?
The din of
a person who's a chalol is not a kohen at all. If a kohen marries a grusha or a kohen marries a giyeris, yeah, she'd be the frumest giyeris in the world, yeah. If a kohen marries Rus, okay. If a kohen married Rus, yeah. Her kids are 100% Jewish, wonderful, holy Jews, but they're Chalolim.
No, I'm saying the status of a halal chutz la'aretz is not so strong then.
But they still like Truman above them.
So that's what I'm saying. So that status they have is not so bad as
being. It's not bad. A challah is not bad.
I'm saying not a I'm saying their status, if somebody shouldn't worry so much because it's bedieved. It's not a chatchila.
Chatchila what?
That they are challah.
Everybody can marry a challah. A challah can marry. He's a full fledged Jew, just not a kohen. He can go to cemeteries.
No, meaning a kohen can marry a challah.
Chalala.
Chutz la'aretz.
Also not.
Why not? Because it's not such a strong.
But the Torah still says you're not allowed to.
But maybe only in Eretz Yisrael and not Chutz la'aretz.
No, because the Torah says Ishak. America, Emine, Adam, right?
Chutz la'aretz or in.
Anywhere.
From this
Gemara,
all I'm saying from this Gemara, it seems like Chutz la'aretz is not as chamor as it's in Eretz Yisrael.
It's no difference.
They only eat
teruma,
that's it, no?
But they only eat
teruma. They made
it so
for
that, teruma. That's a lot. That's a whole parnasa.
Teruma in Chutz La'aretz is not midi minoraita. They just made the rabbanim.
Well, we're not finished. Because Gemara's going to say, Gemara's going to ask. But then they only ate teruma the rabbanim. Then they went up to eat teruma the raisa. Minoteira.
Right.
We'll soon do in a second. So now the Gemara says like this. Olaman the yomer. But according to the opinion that says, the Gemara says like this. There's an argument. Okay, let's put it this way. There are different statuses for a kohen. Okay, kohen miyuchas means a kohen that you have lineage straight to Aaron, back all the way to Aaron a kohen, and you know that he's 100% a kosher kohen. Okay. Then there, now obviously to work in the Beis HaMikdash, they were much stricter in the kashrus of a kohen than to eat truma. Okay, they were much stricter because that working in the Beis HaMikdash was. So there's two opinions in another Gemara. If a kohen eats truma, we don't know about the kohen, we just know that he eats truma. Do we allow him to work in the Beis HaMikdash? One opinion says no. Just because he eats truma doesn't, it's not proof enough that the guy's a real, true blue kohen that he can work in the Beis HaMikdash. Another opinion says, no, if he eats truma, that means he's a real kohen, you can work in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is asking now, how could these kohenim be told by Nechemiah, yeah, that you can eat truma, but you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash, according to the opinion that says if you eat truma, you could work in the Beis HaMikdash. So why is he allowing these kohenim to eat truma? They're going to end up working in the Beis HaMikdash. Because people see they're eating truma, they'll say, okay, he's a kohen, let him work in the Beis HaMikdash.
But they're not going to eat truma in Eretz Yisrael.
No, but he says you could eat truma in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he's telling them.
Oh, the chazaka is
right. So he said, Gemara asked, Oman, do you have a mile in truma liyuchzer, according to the opinion that holds that you can eat, from, if a guy eats truma, you can go to Yichus, meaning he can work in the Beis HaMikdash. Hani da ochel betruma. These kohenim, these questionable kohenim, that are allowed to eat truma because of their chazaka, also lasukina, they're gonna make him work in the Beis HaMikdash. I'll give you another example. Just because a guy gets kohen as an aliyah, doesn't mean he can work in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, when Mashiach comes, yeah? You can have line up a kohen in there. So hey, I got kohen in there.
Why not? He has a chazaka. I mean, doesn't he have a chazaka? I mean, we are talking about chazaka. Why does he
saying,
have a chazaka?
Yeah, but what did he say? You have a chazaka to get an aliyah. Status quo, you can get an aliyah for kohen. No, I'm saying, because.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example.
So how does chazaka
a guy work? Comes to shul. Yeah? I mean, how do I know? You're Jewish, I know you're Jewish. I was at your bris. I mean, how do I know? Yeah? And normally, I'll be there. A guy comes and says, to shul. He says, Jewish, he counts it for a minion. You give him an aliyah, right? But if a guy has to do a wedding, you can't say, because the guy comes to shul, okay, I can do his wedding. That you can't do. Then you need to check, make sure he's Jewish, taka, and he's a kosher Jew. You know what I mean? That I mean kosher, that he can get married. I mean, you can't. So there's a big difference. A guy comes to shul for a minyan. He says, he's your, what are you going to do? Say 1 minute. We need to do a background check. we don't do that. Because for a minyan, you could assume. A guy says he's Jewish. He's Jewish. But that's not enough an assumption to go marry him, do a wedding for him. Right? But the Gemara asked, so one opinion says that the fact that he eats truma, that is strong enough to let him work in the Beis HaMikdash. The other opinion says no. Okay? So the Gemara says, but over here there's a problem. If you're going to let them eat truma, then they're going to go work in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasan Dreyachas Kesei. Over there already people are going to know it's different. The fact that they cannot eat kachim, the fact that they cannot eat karbanis, so already people see they're questionable. The opinion that says that you can, if you eat truma, you can work in the Beis HaMikdash, that means we don't know that they can't eat karbanis. But in the case like in this one, where you know they cannot be eating karbanis because they're not real koyanim, so the Gemara says, "V'alamai God l'gudei l'chazakas." What's the great chazaka you're talking about? So what did the chazaka do? So the Gemara says, "The mikara achol truma drabanan." The chazaka's power is like this: in Bavel they only ate rabbinic truma, because in Bavel truma is only midrabanan. Well, the b'seif. But now they came to Eretz Yisrael with Trumas Minateira. So that's the power of Chazaka. That even though until now they ate rabbinic Truma, the Chazaka allows them to eat biblical Truma.
But not to the extent.
But not to eat Kabbanis and not to work in the Beis HaMikdash and not to, for any of that. But again, what you see from this whole Gemara is that the Chalolim went up to Eretz Yisrael. Or Ibai Yisema.
Is that this Chazaka works all over Shas? Same way that Chazaka is only on that limited area that you have a Chazaka on?
Yeah. Yes. Chazaka means until you know something for sure changed. Yeah? Until you know for sure something changed, it remains status quo.
No, I understand.
And only for that thing.
Within that gather.
Correct. Of the, like I said, if a guy, you know, a guy was in, you living in your city, he was a guy. Yeah? He goes away for a month, comes back and says, I'm Jewish. He has to prove it.
No, dinei mamonot. How about dinei mamonot?
Also.
If somebody has a chazaka that he sells belts, it doesn't mean he also sells cars.
Yeah, but what difference is
it? No, I know, but I'm trying to come. I mean, within dinei mamonot, also the same thing applies. That you know, if somebody has a chazaka that I don't know, he sells safari, but if he says, "Well, I also sell cars," we don't look at it. I mean, if it makes an afkemino.
Yeah, you can. A guy has a chazaka of, Allah talks about this, getting certain aliyahs. A guy's a chazaka of being the chazan. Mm-hmm. A guy's a chazaka blowing shofar. You can't just take it away from them.
Yeah, but the guy that blows
shofar doesn't. Shaila and Allah, I don't remember what they paskin. Let's say a guy has a chazaka to blow shofar the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And another guy has a chazaka the second day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay? And now the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. Who gets the second day? Mm. Who has that chazaka?
The second one, of course.
Why, maybe the first time of blowing shofar, the first guy gets.
That's the case. That's what I'm asking here. We are talking about the same
I mentioned the shaylin shul. Let's say there's an oval that has a chazaka davening by the first minion. It's his chazaka. And there's an oval davening by the second minion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So you have that's in the case in our show. There's a 6 o'clock minion, 7:30 minion. There's an oval that always has a chazaka for the first minion. And there's an oval that has a chazaka in the second minion. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, it becomes Thanksgiving. And the minion is 7:30 and 9.
Wow.
Right? That's what we do. We're down 7:30 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Who has the chazaka for which minion?
I mean, we can go to the Din Tadir The second one that the 731 always does at the 7:30.
But no, maybe the first minion is his chazaka for the first minion. The first minion is 7:30.
Time has more.
No, that's what you say. You think it's so simple? It's not so simple.
No, you understand what I'm saying.
The guy has a chazaka for this minion. Now, do you look at it, well, 7:30 is my chazak, or do you say, no, that's the second minion. The second minion is 9 o'clock, go daven at 9 o'clock. By the way, this is not a child, it could be big fights about this.
Right. Not in the
shul. Not in the shul.
What is the answer?
Outside the shul.
It's not so simple.
Uh-huh.
No.
What are we looking at? Looking at this.
That's what I'm saying. Are you looking at first versus second, or are you looking at the time? No, I mean, no. This this shalat you'll find also, but the shalat about Shafer, it says Tak in Poskim, they have truths about it.
Wow.
You know, who has the chazaka for the second day?
Hmm.
I remember, again, I don't remember often what they passed him, but it's brought down in truths. There's a lot of truths written about this.
Somebody has chazaka to blow the shofar. Under what condition can he cancel it?
If there's a reason why he's becomes possible. Let's say he's not able to blow anymore. Or he became a Rasha. Or he's not Merutza Lakol. The community doesn't want him. Whatever. Those are, you know, there's a lot of dentatus, even today, about such issues.
Din Torah?
Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Boy, same another answer." Le'elam hashtenami b'drabban rochol. Another answer, Gemara says, interestingly, even when they went up to Eretz Yisrael, Nechemya only let him eat rabbinic truma. Truma b'deraisa le'och, they didn't eat biblical truma.
What is biblical truma in Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, but you have biblical.
No, because it says Rashi says biblical truma in Eretz Yisrael is only grain, wine, and olive oil. All the other vegetables are rabbinic. Mm. Even in Eretz Yisrael. So what Nehemia let them eat, maybe according to this answer, was not the biblical truma.
What page are you on here?
69b3. Second column. V'chim askinim mit truma liyuchzin. And therefore he says like this. When does the opinion say, from truma to yuchzin, you do go up? That's by biblical truma. What was Gemara's question? How can you let these guys eat truma? According to the opinion that says you go from truma to work in the Beis HaMikdash, how do you let them eat truma? Because then they're going to go work in the Beis HaMikdash. So first, the Gemara answered that
the Rabbanan in Israel also.
They don't eat
korban because, and therefore people won't let them work. What's the chazaka? So Gemara says, until now they ate only rabbinic truma, now they're going to eat biblical truma. Then the Gemara answered another answer. Really, they didn't eat biblical truma. He only let them eat status quo, even in Eretz Yisrael rabbinic truma. Ihochi mai gedol chazaka. So what's the chazaka doing? They ate rabbinic, they keep rabbinic. What's the big deal? So he says, demikada lek lemigzar, originally in Bavel, I would think, the Gemara says, that they shouldn't eat rabbinic truma even in Eretz Yisrael. Why? In Bavel, there is no biblical truma. So we're not afraid they're going to eat biblical truma. It doesn't exist in Bavel.
Oh, dear.
But in Eretz Yisrael, if you let them eat rabbinic truma, people are going to give them biblical truma, which they're not allowed to eat. So the great of power of Chazak is that we still let them eat rabbinic truma.
But in Babel, the rabbinic truma did not include the grain, the oil, the...
Yeah, there's also rabbinic.
That was also rabbinic?
Yeah.
Oh, so this...
The vegetables could, also.
So in other words, everything was subject to...
Everything was rabbinic.
In Babel.
Yeah.
And they did get that.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, but now we're afraid. I would think we're afraid when they come down to Yisrael, they might eat biblical truma. So he says, no, chazak is great enough that we let them eat rabbinic truma. We're not afraid they're going to come to eat biblical truma. So he said, Alipsaf, Avla gab the ikar, le migza mishum truma de raisa. So I would think, bidraban and ochol, bidraisa loy ochol, they shouldn't eat, but it's going to be a problem. Of Oksiv. So it says, what do you mean they were not allowed to eat biblical truma? It says, Vayema Tirshasalam, this Nechemia, it was called Tirshasal. Said to them, La Yechum, Ikotcha Kadoshim. You can't eat only Kurbanis. But Kedisha Kadoshim of the La Yechel. Hokom Midi, everything else they could eat, even Truma de Raisa. What did Nechemia tell him? You can't eat Kurbanis, which means everything else you could eat, which means would mean even biblical Truma. How could you say biblical truma, we're not letting them eat? Mm-hmm. When Nehemiah said to them, you cannot eat korbanos, which means everything else you could eat, even biblical truma. The Gemara says, no. Hachi commented what he means. Lo'imide de mikra kredish. They can't eat anything which is called kredish. And nothing that's called kachim. And the Gemara says like this, what does it mean? Lo'imidi the mikra kredish, they cannot anything which is called holy, which is truma, because it says v'chol zar lo yechol kredish. What he meant is like this: when the Nechemiah said you cannot eat mikotche hakadoshim, so the Gemara thought it means kotche kachim is, we say the davni, the korbanos, but everything else he could have says no, that's not what he meant. When he said kotche hakadoshim, you can't eat kredish. And you can't eat kachim. The Gemara thought until now, kachim, kachim goes together. That you can't eat korbanos, which are called... The Gemara says, no, that's not what he meant. You can't eat kredish, truma is called kredish, and you can't eat kachim, which means korbanos. That's what he says. You can't eat leimide de mikra kredish, you can't eat anything which is called kredish, and you can't eat anything which is called kachim. What does that mean? Lemidid the mikra kedish, you can't eat kedish because truma is called chalzar layechol kedish. You can't eat kedish. Truma is called kedish. The chol v'layemidid the mikra kedushin, they can't eat kabbanis that are called kachim because it says ubaskein ki si alish zot. A baskein who marries a non kain, he betruma sa kachim layechol. She cannot eat the truma of kachim, which means bamura min kachim, anything which is separated from a hegdish, leisecho they cannot eat.
Where does the pasuk end at lo teofo?
The pasuk says
no. Where does it end?
He betruma sa kachim leisecho.
Oh, that's a part of the pasuk.
Yeah, yeah. So it means from, so therefore with the Gemara rules, the Gemara finishes the point that the guys, according to the second opinion, the first opinion, the Gemara says they were allowed to eat even real truma in Eretz Yisrael. Second opinion says no, they're only allowed to eat rabbinic truma in Eretz Yisrael. What's the power of chazaka that we allow them to eat rabbinic truma? We're not afraid they're going to eat biblical truma. But Kurbanis, Truma, they can't.
Gezerah, the Gezerah, Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, two Gezerahs.
It's not a double Gezerah.
Yes, it is.
No, Chum said they could eat Truma. I let me make a Gezerah, they can eat biblical Truma, because a Chazaka is powerful. Without the Chazaka, Witaka wouldn't allow them to eat. Because they might come to eat biblical Truma.
Which one is the stronger Chazaka of these two opinions? First or second one?
I know, they're both the same. Yeah. The first chazaka is that they can eat Truma Drabanan. First, now they can eat Truma Deraisa. Here, the chazaka is the word not gezer, that they cannot eat rabbinic truma because they're going to eat biblical truma.
That's fun, huh?
First one seemed was a little bit stronger. Yeah. Chazaka is very powerful in halacha.
We had a guy in our shul, he's a kohen. He wanted to go to Duchan, but people they always had a fight with him, so he's not kohen. So is it okay that he goes to Duchan?
What do you mean he's not a kohen?
They say this guy is not normal. He said, I'm Cohen, but he's not actually Cohen. But the guy said, no, I'm Cohen.
It's not.
Should you stop him or let him go?
No, there are other people that
it
know
depends it. Why they say he's not a Kohen. Just because he's crazy doesn't mean he's not a Kohen. There's a lot of crazy Kohen. No, I mean, if they have a reason.
If they don't have a proof.
Let me tell you something. In a shul, if a guy comes into shul, like we said, you let him be part of the minyan, yeah? What happens if a balabas comes over to the rav of the shul and says, listen, I have questions if this guy is a Jew or not.
What do you do?
Then once a question was placed, then you have to check into it.
And then if the question comes, he's not part of minyan anymore?
It depends what you rule in the question. But many times they will rule until we check into it and rule differently, because he has a chazakah of being a Jew, then we let him be a Jew until we find out differently. But you have a chiyuv to find out now that somebody raised the question if he's a Jew or not, then you have to check into it.
But, so the same thing applies to somebody who claims that he's a Kohen?
If until now the guy was always a Kohen, okay? If until now the guy was assumed to be a Kohen, and now somebody awakens doubts, so halachically you have to check into it, but until you find out what status does the guy have, he has a chazaka, that he's a Kohen. A lot of different chazakas, I mean, you know. A lot of statuses of chazaka by people. There's a lot of issues. A person that was tamei, yeah? Until you know for sure that their status changed, they remain in the status of tuma.
About who?
I mean, how practical is it today? Not too much. But, but in Nida, we'd be like that.
Yeah.
A woman's in Nida. Until you know differently. Therefore, halacha says when a woman comes home from the mikveh, she has to tell the husband tavalti. Or if the husband knows she went to the mikveh, why? Why does she have to tell him that she tavled? Because until now, she has a chazak of being tamei, as far as the husband's concerned.
But we trust her, she on herself.
Because
al
bedin, she has naman. Yeah, eidach naman bisunan.
But yeah. On herself?
On herself, she's believed. By Yisr and Heter, one witness is believed. Even a officially non-kosher witness.
But on them, I thought it has to be somebody else.
No.
On, somebody says, on, I guess the same thing, I'm a Kohen, I can go to the Duch. It's the same thing. Then.
No, but there she's believed to say she undid the Chazaka.
Oh, okay.
So, biyadi is because it's in her ability to do it. She has the ability to go to the mikveh. So why, you know.
Oh, a Kohen cannot.
A guy goes home to eat. His wife cooked him dinner. Yeah? How does he know the food's kosher?
She has a chazaka.
Not she has a chazaka. She's believed to say that it's kosher. If she serves him food, obviously she's telling him it's kosher. So a woman is believed to say it's kosher. There's a... Okay.